And joining me live over the phone today is Director Brian Nesbitt with the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Director, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, Duke, and I trust you are well.
Yeah, doing well also. Thank you so much for your time as always. And, of course, a lot of things happening since we've talked last. It's been a few months because of the session and everything going on, but we actually haven't had the chance to talk since the announcement that the federal government is planning to delist the grizzly bear from the endangered species list. That news coming out about a month ago. And Director, I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think it actually happens this time, first and foremost? And what needs to transpire between now and then for that to take place?
Yeah, great question. It's certainly something that a lot of folks in Wyoming are very interested in, and certainly we've been interested in for a long time. You know, the grizzly bear and the greater Yellowstone's been delisted two other times, and because of court cases has been put back on the list. You know, that to answer your question, I feel strongly that we are going to be able to delist again. And you know, all the biological and scientific indicators, there's very little disagreement on the fact that this bear population has met all of the scientific recovery criteria that are necessary for them to not be on the list anymore. So, and I think, you know, each time there's been a court case, the courts have pointed out things that they had concerns with, and all of those things have been addressed and the commitments that have been made by the state. So I do feel confident. Now, what has to happen next is this all came as a consequence of Governor Gordon filing a petition, which basically forces the federal government's hand to make a couple of different decisions. This is not something that's typically used by states, but it's actually a lot of times it's used by environmental groups to put things on the list. But the governor decided to use the same tool to try to remove grizzly bears from the list, and that it forces the government to make two decisions. One is a 90-day decision that actually took them about a year to make. And that's what we heard about a month ago, and that was a favorable decision that basically said they're moving forward with a status review that then leads them to a 12-month decision. And I realize that sounds a little bit weird that we're already over 12 months and we haven't had a decision, but this does sometimes happen with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And so that's kind of where we're at now, is we're waiting on that the next decision. I don't have a timeline, but we've certainly been visiting with the folks in the Department of Interior. The governor and I went out to D.C. and met with them here a month ago, and are encouraging them to move this process along quickly.
Okay. So do you expect there to be some more court battles along the way in this process that you're anticipating the state to win this time? Or do you feel like this will be a little smoother transition?
Yeah, Duke, I think any delisting of grizzly bear in any of the populations is going to result in litigation. But I feel like, you know, this is the most studied population of bears in the world. And I think we're in a spot now where it will be very difficult for a court to relist the grizzly bear once they get delisted.
So, Director, I know the state's had a plan in place for a while now to manage grizzly bear as part of the management from the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. So what does that management plan look like?
Yeah, so we aren't going to make any significant modifications to the plan. We felt good about it the last time they were delisted. We actually implemented it for over a year, and I don't see that changing much. It includes several components that include conflict management, information and education, and safety. It included, as you recall last time, a hunting season, and I think all of those components will continue to be a part of the plan. We will definitely revisit it and update it and take some more public comment, but I don't see it changing significantly.
So Wyoming Game and Fish Director Brian Nesbitt. Director, anything else regarding grizzly bears that you feel is important to mention this morning?
Probably not. Just we got to continue to exercise patience. This is this has been a decades long effort to recover a species that was nearly gone from Wyoming, and thanks to sportsmen and women and a lot of hard work from people who live, work, and recreate around grizzly bears, they've been recovered. It's a success story that we should celebrate. And the best way to celebrate it is get them off the list.
That's Director Brian Nesbitt, Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Director, another thing to bring up this morning, it's been a not just in our region, but pretty much statewide, it's been a pretty long, heavy snow, cold winter. And I know it's caused some problems with the mule deer population and winter kill a little higher than normal. How's the wildlife populations handling this year's winter?
Yeah, it kind of varies around the state, Duke. There's definitely some places where we have serious concerns about big game, particularly pronghorn and deer. The Bags Country, Rawlins, all the way up kind of in the area up to central Wyoming around Casper. That area has had exceptionally high snowpack, and we've definitely seen mortality there. Additionally, over in southwest Wyoming, there's been some mortality. Seems like as you go north, the snowpack hasn't been quite as bad, and maybe a little bit more of a normal winter when you get up in the upper Green and the Bighorn Basin and parts of northeast Wyoming. But there's definitely places where we're having some serious concerns with high snowpack and big game mortality. And then we just recently had some pronghorn die over around Pinedale. This has all developed in the last couple of days. Quite a few, and we tested them, and they've got a strain of pneumonia, and so we're continuing to monitor that. We're doing some looking at going out and evaluating, looking for sick animals and collecting any carcasses that we can find to try to find out at what scale this pneumonia outbreak has happened. It's not real common in pronghorn, but
gotcha. That's Director Nesbitt this morning again with the Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, while we have you, wanted to bring up a couple pieces of legislation that I understand have been signed by the governor, passed through House Bill 200 and 123, have an impact on out-of-state hunters, an increase by, 40% in out-of-state licenses? Is that correct?
Yeah, I haven't done the math on the percentage, but it's a pretty, it's a decent increase for only a certain proportion of non-resident licenses. So the way that that folks can apply for a non-resident deer, elk, or antelope is in one of two ways. They can either pay the regular license fee and apply for a pool of 60% of the available licenses, and that's not changed. But then there's another pool, it's called the special draw, where a person can pay more. And they have in most cases, it ends up giving them a little bit better chances of drawing. Though that 40% pool is what was increased. This was as a result of the recommendation of the Wyoming Wildlife Task Force. And, some of the reasons they stated for their recommendation was to offset some of the revenue decreases that were outcomes of some of their other recommendations. And then also to bring Wyoming more in line with the market in other states for those particular licenses. The other licenses that I didn't mention is the bighorn sheep, moose, bison, and sheep. Those were all increased as well. And again, same thing, to bring those licenses in line with what they cost in other states, what like experiences are in other states.
Okay. And then 123 is the shed hunting, which actually puts a delay on out of non-residents coming up and hunting sheds in Wyoming, correct?
Yeah, that's in those areas where it's designated, where we have a season, an antler season. What that bill will do is it gives the commission the direction to establish the start time for non-residents to be 7 days later than it is for residents. So right now, over in a lot of your part of the where a lot of your listeners are, the people are allowed to start shed hunting at 6 a.m. on May 1st. So what this would do is it would allow residents to start on May 1st and non-residents would start 7 days later.
Okay. One of the questions I've seen asked with this one is enforcement. I mean, are game wardens now going to have to start checking IDs for those out hunting sheds in that first week?
Yeah, they will. And that's that certainly was one of the concerns that we expressed when this went through the process is, shed hunting has already become a pretty significant increase in workload for our wardens in that part of the state. And it's not really after May 1st. It's before that for folks that are trying to get an early start. But typically in the past, after May 1, the workload goes down because then, you know, people are allowed to go out and collect antlers. But this will extend that period of time when the workload's high into the first week of May.
Director Brian Nesbitt, Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, we've covered quite a bit today. Anything else we've missed that you'd like to touch on?
No, I think we did. Like you said, we covered a lot of stuff today, and I'm looking forward to spring.
Yeah, all of us. Yes, all of us. Well, Director, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.